السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه، ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر، يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر، ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. For fasting and for the month of Ramadan, there are numerous benefits. But the prime benefit, the most important benefit of this month, of the process of fasting during this month, is mentioned in verse 185 in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. You may learn self-restraint. Taqwa means self-restraint. And this self-restraint is also self-imposed by us. We refrain from this month from certain sensual benefits and pleasures: eating, drinking, relationship with one's spouse. We refrain from them. And this is self-denial. This is not something that has been imposed on us. Sometimes a person is denied drink or food or a relationship as a means of deprivation, as a means of punishment. He or she could not eat or cannot drink or cannot meet people because of a punishment, because of deprivation. While in the fasting, it's not a punishment. It is with one's pleasure and one's understanding and one's content and acceptance and satisfaction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about fasting, He says, I don't intend to put a burden on you. I don't want to deprive you. It's not about punishment or mere restriction or deprivation. He says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ. I intend through fasting every ease for you, every comfort for you, every felicity for you. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ. He does not intend for you usr or difficulty. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. But if we understand the meaning of the fast, we're going to enjoy it. Sometimes some people really, they do not enjoy fasting. It's a burden on them. They look at it as a burden. When the month of Ramadan approaches, they don't enjoy that. They say, oh, again, Ramadan, I have to fast, I have... Because they do not really... Number one, they do not understand the value, the benefit, the meaning, the merits of fasting. And once someone does not understand these values, he or she would not enjoy fasting. It's like sending someone to school by force. In Muslim countries, they used to send us to school by force. Here in America, I look at my kids, they look forward to the school. They enjoy it. But for us, you know, my generation, during the dark ages, it was a torture going to school. Because the first thing you see the teacher early in the morning, he's in a very bad mood, he's angry. How would you like to, would you really enjoy this, you know, going to, you don't enjoy this experience. Here the teachers, they smile. I don't know what they eat that makes them really always smiling. So, a child who does not like a school would not benefit from it. He would not excel. He would not advance. He would not learn. He comes back home empty-handed. And a person who fasts without enjoying the fast would become empty-handed. He would not enjoy the fast because he does not understand it. And therefore, if he does not enjoy it, he would not benefit from it. And the main benefit, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, for self-restraint and self-control. It's not a punishment. Yes, during the fast, we may lose few things. We lose the food, the drink, probably the sleep, probably the comfort. It's not an easy process, but then you gain many things instead. And the things that you gain is taqwa, self-control. You find it through fasting. When you try to really squeeze yourself and control yourself against these desires, through your own will, not the will of someone else. Sometimes a person is a solitary confinement, he or she is denied food or drink, for many hours, sometimes many days, that person would not learn piety because he needs the food, they don't give him the food. While you at home, you have the food. It's there at your disposal. You have it. And you have the freedom of going and eating and drinking. But you say to yourself, I'm not going to do that. The food is here next to me, the drink is here next to me, I'm hungry, probably I'm thirsty. But I'm not going to do that, submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we build our characters, our manners. This is how we learn taqwa. Taqwa is when what you desire is right in front of your eyes, but you say to yourself, no, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to get close to it. I'm not going to do that. Now, this is how we build the power of resistance, because taqwa is about resistance, muqawama, resisting desires. This is taqwa. When we are able to control our desires, we learn taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizes this point in particular. He says during the month of Ramadan, the right way of fasting is going to improve your akhlaq and your manners. But the wrong way of fasting is going to make you frustrated and angry during the month of Ramadan. The wrong way of fasting. But if you enjoy it, if you go by the rules, if you respect the spirit of fast, the spirit of Ramadan, then you're going to enjoy, you're going to improve your manners. أيها الناس من حسن منكم في هذا الشهر خلقه. Whoever tries to work out on his manners, we have to work out on our manners. The same way we work out on our muscles, our bodies, we need to work out on our manners and akhlaq. من حسن منكم. Whoever tries to improve his akhlaq and his manners in this month, كان له جواز على الصراط يوم تزل فيه الأقدام. On a day where many, many feet are going to slip away from Sirat, the bridge that takes you right to paradise, your feet would not slip. كان له جواز. You're going to have a safe and smooth passage on this bridge. Without hesitation, you're going to reach your destination. وَمَنْ كَفَّ فِيهِ شَرَّهُ كَفَّ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ غَضَبَهُ يَوْمَ يَلْقَهُ. If you restrain your wrongdoing, your evil, your harm, restrain it, control it, don't let people get hurt by you. If you need to send people something, send them something good, not bad. Whether it is a speech, whether it's an action, whether it's a thought, send the good things that you have to people and keep the bad things. Don't send them. وَمَنْ كَفَّ فِيهِ شَرَّهُ. Abstain from harming and hurting people during this month. كَفَّ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ غَضَبَهُ يَوْمَ. Allah is going to restrain His wrath against that people. So he would not see Allah angry on the Day of Judgment. He will see Allah pleased with him, content with him. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ ارْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. And the Prophet ﷺ continues to say, وَمَنْ أَكْرَمَ فِيهِ يَتِيمًا. During this month, if you pay attention to an orphan, a single orphan, you remember a single orphan with goodness, with food, with attention, with a smile, أَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ يَلْقَاهُ. Allah will remember you on the Day of Judgment. On that day that you meet Him, He's going to honor you the same way you honored an orphan during this month. وَمَنْ وَصَلَ فِيهِ رَحِمَهُ وَصَلَهُ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ يَوْمَ يَلْقَهِ. If you reach out to your next of kin, to your extended family members, we are busy throughout the year. The month of Ramadan is the month of communication, the month that you inquire and ask and send your greetings to your extended family members, to your uncles, to your cousins, to the family that you have in America, outside America, greeting them, telling them Ramadan Mubarak, may this month be a month of mercy and forgiveness and compassion on you and your family. Reach out to them during this month. Take some time to reach out to your family members, those that usually you don't get to contact them during this month. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَصَلَهُ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ يَوْمَ يَلْقَهُ. Allah is going to reach out to you with His mercy on the day that you meet Him. وَمَنْ قَطَعَ فِيهِ رَحِمَهُ. A person who chooses not to reach out to his family, he would sever, قَطَع, disconnect himself from his family in this month. Allah would not bestow His mercy on him on the Day of Judgment. وَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ فِيهِ بِصَلَاةٍ تطوع من صلاة النافلة, the extra prayers other than the five daily prayers. If you offer one of these prayers, كتب الله له براءة من النار. Allah will give him. Have you seen in this country you have to get sometimes security clearance in order for you to get this sensitive job? Allah will give you security clearance against punishment, against the hellfire. وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ فِيهِ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَيْهِ, whoever increases the salat over the Prophet, whoever always frequently says, اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
ثقل الله ميزانه يوم تخف فيه الموازين. Your scale is going to be heavy on the day of judgment. A day where other people's scale and mizan is light, has no amal in it, empty. Your scale is full of deeds, good deeds, because of your salawat for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his family.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow piety, self-restraint, self-control, enables us through this journey of the month, which one third of it has ended already. I always say the fastest journey in this life trip is the journey of Hajj, and the fastest month or season is the month of Ramadan. One third of it is over. Try to take advantage of the rest of this month. Spend some time in the evenings for munajat and dua with your Lord. Only 2/3 of this month has left, and this also, the 20 days that we have, they will pass very quick, and all of a sudden the month of Ramadan is over. Now the gates of mercy are open. Allah gives concessions. Allah invites us and He gives concession, and He wants an excuse for Him to forgive us during this month. At the time of iftar, at the time of suhoor, in between, especially the nights of Ramadan, we have to cut back on entertainments. Try to spend some time with your family, teach your children, your family together to worship, to speak to Allah, to recite du'as. We have plenty of du'as for this month. Let's spend time to nurture ourselves spiritually so we can gain the taqwa, the self-restraint, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal-Asr inna al-insana lafi khusrin illa alladhina amanu وعمل الصالحات وتواصل بالحق وتواصل بالصبر. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه, ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين, إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أهل بيت نبيك وأعزته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين, وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين, وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام. وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره في هذا الشهر العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن أظلم ممن منع مساجد الله أن يذكر فيها اسمه وسعى في خرابها، أولئك ما كان لهم أن يدخلوها إلا خائفين، لهم في الدنيا خزي ولهم في الآخرة عذاب عظيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Some of you heard about the tragic incident that took place in Masjid al-Imam al-Sadiq in the state of Kuwait during the Friday prayers, while over 2,000 people gathered on Friday today to offer their Friday prayers, a Saudi citizen enters the mosque at the last rak'ah and he detonates himself and he kills 26 people, the highest number in the history of Kuwait so far. 26 people were killed and over 200 were wounded. Many of them are in the hospitals, and I personally know many of these victims. This is a few weeks ago. You've heard about what happened in the eastern province of Saudi Arabia. Again, two mosques were attacked during the Friday prayers. Before that, many times some of the masajid in Yemen, in Sana'a and other cities, were attacked either by a suicide bomber during the Friday prayers or by Saudi airplanes while people were praying inside them. And these attacks will continue, since the source of evil, the source of destruction, is still there and enjoys the support of many governments, regional governments and international governments. Then we have to expect these attacks, unfortunately, to continue. I have 3 points to mention here today, to share with you, as a solution to what we are, the atrocities that are being committed against men, women, children, innocent people, worshippers who are going about their daily life. They do tathir, wudu, they go to the masjid on a Friday to listen to the sermon, to improve themselves, to unite with each other, and all of a sudden someone comes and he considers this as a temple of shirk. The statement issued by ISIS, it says, هَذَا مَعْبَدٌ شِرْكِي, a temple of shirk. People who face the Qibla and say Allahu Akbar, and they say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, they are considered by ISIS and the masterminds of ISIS, which is the Wahhabi ulama of Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, they are considered mushrikeen. 3 points. Number one, all Muslims should condemn this, in particular the Sunni scholars. Sunni scholars are silent on this. I speak with many of them. Many of them are my friends. We have personal friendship here in Southern California, in America, internationally. They are reluctant to condemn these atrocities. Why? Because it is not happening in their vicinities, in their backyard. Once it happens, it becomes a crime. But if others are paying the price, even though the others are Muslims, they don't care about that. So ulama al-Muslimin, ulama al-Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ says, الساكت عن الحق شيطان أخرس. He's a Satan. The one who does not condemn these atrocities. So it has to be condemned, number one. And their job is to guide Hidayah and Irshad. What is the job of a alim? What is his main job? To teach, to guide, to speak the truth. The job of a diplomat is to act diplomatically. But the job of the alim is not to act diplomatically. It's to be frank and open and straightforward, and he should speak the truth. They don't speak the truth. Because they work, unfortunately. Their sustenance and their risk, they think that the risk comes from this government, from this community. If I speak up, I'm going to lose my job. He's losing his faith, his iman, his conscience, that's okay. But to lose my job, this is dangerous for me. This is how they think. They have to change that. They have to change that. أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ The weakest level of faith is to condemn. The weakest. At least with your heart. Say, I don't accept these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold them accountable. The ulama who refuse to speak the truth and guide the masses and teach people what is right and what is wrong, they will be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they have to teach the masses. They have to teach the young generation. This young generation is under illusion. That they are doing jihad. They are getting close to Allah in the month of Ramadan. Abu Fulan al-Adnani, two days ago, he issued a statement, the spokesperson of ISIS. He called upon his followers, to increase their attacks against the Shi'as during the month of Ramadan. During the month of Ramadan. What type of Islam is this? What type of religion is this that encourages the young ones to go and kill those who say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So this is point number one. Ulama, they have to speak up. The second point, we the Muslims have to unite. We have a common enemy. ISIS are not only they dislike the Shia, or they pose a danger only for the Shia. ISIS, they pose a danger for the Sunnis too. For the Sunnis too. For all good Muslims who do not follow their twisted ideology. So we have to get together. This is a saratan, a cancer in the heart of the Muslim Ummah. We have to eradicate. We have to get together. We should not just stop there and watch what is happening. We have to work together. And the best remedy to counter ISIS and their twisted ideology is to be united, for the Muslims, the Shias, the Sunnis, to be united together, to respect each other. We are all facing this danger. Today the Shias are paying the price, tomorrow the Sunnis will pay the same price, even worse. We have no way, no other solution that comes to my mind except unity, respecting each other, getting closer to each other, especially during these holy times, the month of Ramadan. The month of unity, the month of togetherness. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرُّقُوا ISIS is strong, not because they are strong, because we the Muslims are weak. If we get together, if we defend each other, if we stand for each other, ISIS is going to be eradicated. This is number two. Number three. The United States of America and the American Congress is also responsible for these atrocities, because they stand with dictator regimes in the region. They support a regime like Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabian regime, he knows about these atrocities, he encourages them, and some members in the Saudi government, they finance ISIS and Al-Qaeda. They finance them. not only in Saudi Arabia, in some of the Gulf states. And the United States, they know this. Because of economy, because of oil, they consider Saudi Arabia their closest allies. A corrupt regime. Most of those terrorists who come, whether it's ISIS, whether it is Taliban, whether it is Al-Qaeda, whether it is Boko Haram, this is twisted thought, twisted ideology, stems from Saudi Arabia. By Saudi scholars, Wahhabi scholars. My friends, just 2 days ago, I was watching a Wahhabi scholar on the air, live on the air. He would say that Shias are not Muslims, they are mushrikeen. يَعْبُدُونَ Ali والحسن والحسين. We worship Ali and Hassan and Hussein. We worship them. How many Shia you know that they worship Ali and Hassan and Hussein? We consider Ali and Hassan and Hussein and Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be the true servants, the true slaves of God. The true slaves of God. In our masajid, the first thing we say, La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. And it brought daylight. Today, this is not 20 years ago, today. He says, those are mushrik. We don't consider them. And the guy, the anchor, he's trying to correct him. He tells him, no, the Shias. He says, no, you don't know them. They worship Ali and Hassan and Hussein. In Saudi Arabia. On television, live. On television. Can he say something about the Jews? No. Because there is anti-Semitism there. But when it comes to Shia, rhetoric against the Shia, he's free. We have to wake up. These things divide the Muslims. These things weaken the Islamic Ummah. This type of rhetoric provides the ground, legitimacy for ISIS, for Al-Qaeda, to wreak havoc and to kill the Muslims during the month of Ramadan. This has to stop. And the United States of America is responsible for these atrocities, for siding with those corrupt regimes. Look at what America is doing, helping Saudis to bomb the Yemenis during the month of Ramadan. Civilians. Every single day there are civilians who are being killed. Men, women, children, in mosques, in marketplaces, in schools, in hospitals, by Saudi jet fighters. And America is helping them. America is responsible. The Congress is responsible for that. They are responsible. And we have to change. We have to put pressure. We have to say, this is bull. Stop your aggression. We have to support the Mazlum, whether the Mazlum is Muslim, Shia, Sunni, non-Muslim, believer, non-believer. We have to side with the Mazlum, with the wrong, with the one who has been abused. And we have to stand with the aggressor, the zalim. Even if the zalim says, I'm a Muslim country. Since he's zalim, he's aggressor. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Do not side with the corrupts, with the wrongdoers. Don't side with them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring healing to those who are wounded today in this heinous attack against the mu'mineen in Kuwait. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring healing to the heart of the Muslim Ummah, inshallah. And to bring an end to the misery of the people of Yemen, the people of Syria, the people of Palestine, all the Muslims, all the non-Muslims who are suffering, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring them victory, inshallah, bring them healing, and bring unity to the heart of the Muslims, inshallah. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم تقبل صلاتنا وصيامنا وطاعتنا في هذا الشهر العظيم اجعلنا من عتقائك من النار وأدخلنا الجنة وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء تواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.